This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio@sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at SportsTalkNet. The Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on The Steve Callis Show. It's Thursday, April 5th, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio@sportstalknetwork.com. That's S-T-U-D-I-O at sportstalknetwork.com. Got a lot to do today. We're going to start now. The Masters already underway. Tiger Woods, one of the favorites, already on the course. The leader so far is Henrik Stenson at 3-under. After six holes, Martin Keimer in second, 2-under after 11. Tiger Woods tied for fourth, 1-under after four holes. Was in trouble the first two holes. You can get updates on ESPN or I think Masters.com. ESPN's coverage starts full-blown at 3 o'clock, but they have these look-ins from time to time. So Tiger in trouble the first two holes, managed to get pars in both holes. He hit both of his tee shots left. Then he did get a birdie on the par 4 third hole. So he's 1-under. But right now, Stenson in the lead by himself at 3-under, and Martin Keimer right behind him at 2-under. Again, Tiger Woods, one of the favorites, kind of surprising to me. I understand he won 2 weeks ago, but I just think given his last 30 months, it's going to be very hard for him to win this tournament. Everybody's pointing out correctly that he did finish fourth in the last two Masters tournaments, and so therefore he should be and is one of the favorites this weekend. But again, I'm just not a believer. I'll have to see it to believe it if he can really rise to where he's been. And I'm still a firm believer that he's not going to get to 19. I understand you hear people talk now. He's 36 years old, and Jack Nicklaus won at 46, so he has 10 more years, four chances a year, 40 chances, but that assumes so much. Don't forget now Rory McIlroy, after last year, has come back stronger than ever. Phil Mickelson playing very good golf. And also the course has been interesting. It rained, an inch of rain Tuesday night. Wednesday afternoon it rained a little more. They might have some thunderstorms today, but that hasn't happened so far, at least during the morning down at Augusta. So people thought maybe the scores would be higher because the greens were a little better after the rain, but it looks like now it's going to be a very fair course in terms of not a birdie fest, as some people had mentioned, certainly not at least through the first few groupings that have gone out this morning. So we'll try and get you updates during the hour, but that's the story from the Masters right now. Henrik Stenson 3-under after 6. And Tiger Woods one under after 4. Going to switch now to the NBA. Well, let's do a little baseball first. It is opening day, as you know, in baseball. There was one game. Well, look, I guess you have to count those two games in Japan where Oakland and Seattle split. Last night was the first Major League Baseball game of the year, I guess, in the United States would be the best way to say it. I think most people looked at this as the first game. The Cardinals go down to Miami to open Marlins Park, and Kyle Loesch stole the show. You know, you look at the Cardinals, yes, they won the World Series last year, improbable as that was, but they have no Carpenter to start the season. They have no Adam Wainwright to start the season, of course. Pujols signed that huge deal with the Angels, no Pujols. Yet Kyle Loesch, a very good pitcher, gets the opening day starts. No hits the Miami Marlins, for six innings into the seventh. Winds up pitching 7 1/3 of two-hit ball. Gave up one run. Cardinals 4, Miami 1. Jose Reyes, the defending batting champion, although nobody liked the way he did it. You'll recall he got a bunt single in the last game of the year for the Mets and then took himself out of the game, forcing Ryan Braun to go, I think it was 3-for-3 or 4-for-5, either one of those, and that didn't happen. But Jose Reyes did line a single to right to break up the no-hitter in the seventh inning, a clean single. The Marlins only got four hits. Reyes got two of them. But for the Cardinals, Rafael Furcal, 3-for-5 in the leadoff spot. David Freese, 3-for-5 in the five hole. I mean, when you look at the Cardinals lineup, now again, they took a monster in Pujols out of there, but their lineup reads last night for Cal, Beltran, 2 hits, Holiday, Berkman, 1-for-3, Freese, 3-for-5, Molina catching, 2-for-4. I mean, John Jay is batting 7th in this lineup, a good hitter, 1-for-4. Descalso playing 2nd, 1-for-3, batting 8th. I mean, that is a very, very good lineup from 1 through 8. So the Cardinals will be heard from if they can get back Wainwright and Carpenter. I mean, just amazing, at least when you look at that lineup on paper. And look, they produced 13 hits yesterday, so it wasn't just on paper. For Miami, again, Reyes with 2 of the 4 hits. Logan Morrison got 1 hit. And Buck, the catcher, drove in their only run of the game with a double. But Miami, only 4 hits. Johnson takes the loss. 6 innings pitched, 3 earned. That's a quality start nowadays, but he's 0-1. Loesch gets the win, of course. He's 1-0. Mott got the save. Their closer, who did a very good job at the end of last year, gets his first save of the year. Jason Mott coming in the 9th. Miami has a very good team. They just ran into a hot pitcher. This is going to be very interesting. The National League East, I think, is the most interesting division by far. Ozzie Guillen, of course, the new manager of Miami. Mike Matheny, the new manager of St. Louis. But I think the NL East is going to be even better slash more interesting than the AL East. Briefly today at 1 o'clock, ESPN has a doubleheader, Red Sox at Tigers, ESPN 2 followed by Marlins at Reds, Braves at Mets at 1 o'clock Eastern on SNY, and then the Major League Baseball Network tonight, Dodgers at the Padres. We'll talk about the times and locations for all those games later, but a lot of games on TV if you don't have that baseball package that, of course, has every or virtually every game. But the Major League Baseball season, yes, the A's and the Mariners are each 1-1. The Cardinals get the first National League win last night over the new Miami Marlins in the new Marlins ballpark. And St. Louis, I'll say it again, when you look at their lineup, you go, oh, my goodness, I understand they have no Pujols, but they have a very good lineup, 1 through 8. Cardinals get the first win, ton of games today, ton of games on TV. We'll talk about some of them later on in the show. Want to switch now to the NBA, some interesting games last night in the NBA, the most interesting games a lot of people think, including me, a preview of the NBA Finals. Oklahoma City goes down to Miami to play the Heat, a back-and-forth game. I don't want to say a dirty game, but certainly an intense, maybe chippy game, you could say. I mean, if you watch the game, Wade got fouled very hard by Kendrick Perkins. LeBron got knocked over by Russell Westbrook, and LeBron even said, you know, I don't think Russell Westbrook's a dirty player, but that kind of thing. Miami pulls it out in the end. They beat Oklahoma City in Miami 98-93. LeBron James, what can you say, 34 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists, 4 steals, played 42 minutes. This was like a playoff game. If you watch this game again, I think it is a preview of the NBA Finals. Kevin Durant plays 43 minutes, scores 30 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. This was a heated game the whole time. Dwayne Wade with 19 for Miami. Chalmers with 13. Chalmers has really come on as a point guard. Bosch had a terrible shooting night but hit a couple of big baskets late. 12 points on 4 for 14, 6 rebounds. Udonis Haslam off the bench with 6 points and 8 rebounds. For Oklahoma City, besides Durant, Westbrook, 9 for 26 from the field. Again, this guy shoots too much. I understand he's excellent, but he shoots too much. 28 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists for Westbrook. Harden off the bench, their other scorer, with 12 points on 5 for 11 shooting, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. Interestingly, Kevin Durant with 9 turnovers took the blame, essentially. Again, Durant's a pretty classy player. Took the blame for the loss. But again, this is Oklahoma City going down to Miami. Right now, Oklahoma City 40-14. Now Miami 39-14. Miami trying to catch Chicago for the best record in the East. but the Heat beat the Thunder in what many viewed. They viewed that to be, even LeBron said it was a playoff atmosphere, and it really was. Again, if you watch that game, it was high intensity from beginning to end. The Heat 98, the Thunder 93. Another interesting game. Grizzlies and Mavericks are battling for the sixth playoff spot. Memphis goes down to Dallas. The Mavericks outscore, down two after three quarters. The Mavericks outscore the Grizzlies in the fourth quarter. Mavericks 29, Grizzlies 17. Mavericks 95, Grizzlies 85. In fact, the Grizzlies only scored 34 points in the second half. Dirk Nowitzki, 23 and 10 rebounds for Dallas. What do you expect? Sean Marion, 16.7 rebounds. West, 14 points, 6 for 7 from the field. Jason Terry off the bench, 15 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. Mavericks, 95, Grizzlies, 85. O.J. Mayo, again off the bench, their leading scorer. That's happened a few times lately. He had 17 on 6 for 10 shooting and 4 for 5 from 3. But Rudy Gay, 4 for 12, only 8 points. Gasol, 3 for 13, only 10 points. Marc Gasol. Conley, the point guard, 11 points, 5 assists. But a bad day for some of the top players. Zach Randolph, still coming off the bench, 22 minutes, 4 points, 5 rebounds. He's going to have to contribute more. But Dallas, still Dallas. Again, we've talked about it all year. No Tyson Chandler, no J.J. Barea means no championship for the Mavericks. A couple of other interesting games yesterday. The Lakers and the Clippers, the Battle of Los Angeles, if you will. It was a Clippers home game, but the Lakers get the job done. Lakers 113, Clippers 108. Blake Griffin had two highlight film dunks over Pau Gasol. I actually thought at least one of them was a foul on Griffin, but they're not going to call those highlight film dunks against Griffin. But the Lakers won the important part. Lakers 113, Clippers 108. Andrew Bynum, 36 points, 8 rebounds. Kobe, 31 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists. Ramon Sessions, who has really helped them and turned them, I think, back into a contender, 16 points, 8 assists, 6 rebounds. Pau Gasol, 12.7 rebounds for the Lakers. For the Clippers, Caron Butler led the team in scoring, 28 points. Chris Paul, 22 points, 16 assists. Griffin, including those two dunks, 15 points, 14 rebounds, but not enough. The Lakers beat the Clippers 113-108. Lakers 35-20. Clippers 32-22. We'll get to the rest of the NBA after these messages. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Think Fish with Frank Reese on Blue Zoo Radio, Sunday nights at 8 p.m. exclusively on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
These days, you hear them everywhere. Get out of debt quick promises asking you to call right now to solve all your credit problems. But please, listen carefully. Don't make a huge mistake. There is a better way. Trinity Debt Management. Many debt settlement companies have created a dangerous misunderstanding. Simply put, debt settlement often ends up destroying your credit and ultimately may lead to asset seizure and bankruptcy. There is a better way out. Trinity Debt Management can show you how to pay off your debt, preserve your good name, save thousands in interest, and in the end, actually improve your credit rating, not destroy it. Say no to debt settlement. Say yes to debt management. Trinity Debt Management. Make the right choice and become debt-free for keeps. Call 1-800-780-0646. That's 1-800-780-0646.
This is a referral service. Calls will be routed to an independent referral insurance agency.
Listen up, America!
Listen up, America. I'm talking to anyone with or without a pre-existing medical condition. A health insurance hotline has now been established to provide health insurance for all Americans, even uninsured Americans with pre-existing conditions. Call now for a free, no-obligation quote on affordable health plans available to you. 1-800-690-6110. I repeat, this is a hotline providing free quotes for affordable health plans. It's for anyone without health insurance. insurance even if you have pre-existing conditions. Medical costs are the number one cause of bankruptcy and financial distress. All uninsured Americans are strongly urged to call this National Health Insurance Hotline right away to protect yourself and your family from an unexpected variety of medical costs that could cause financial hardship. Call the Health Insurance Hotline right now for a free quote at 1-800-690-6110. That's 1-800-690-6110. Call 1-800-690-6110.
You're listening to thesportstalknetwork.com.
Are you an inventor, or do you know an inventor who would like to attempt to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to industry? For free information on how to proceed, call toll-free.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
InventHelp, one of America's largest invention companies, has inventors' information you can have for free. Record your invention's date of origination, plus get an information brochure and other material of interest to new inventors. Learn how you can get your free information just by dialing toll-free.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
Even if you only have an idea for improving an existing product or don't know where to go with it, you'll want this free inventor's information. It shows how InventHelp may assist you in trying to patent your invention and submit it to industry. It's a free call, so call InventHelp right now.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
SportsTalkNetwork.com, the internet broadcast giant for sports talk and entertainment programming, now features market-specific sports sites in over one dozen cities, including New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Cleveland, and Canada. And we're not done yet. More markets launching soon. Your cities, your teams, your passion. We are SportsTalkNetwork.com.
In these hard economic times, you've got to do whatever you can to save money. One of our biggest expenses can be our cars, especially when unexpected repair bills hit. Not anymore. If you have a car, truck, or SUV, you can stop paying for all covered repairs. That's right. You might not have to pay a penny more than you want for repairs. Just call 1-877-246-0508 right now to see if you qualify. Repairs for your engine, transmission, and much more can become a thing of the past if your vehicle has less than 130,000 miles. Just call 877-246-0508 today and get your car protected, saving you hundreds, even thousands of dollars. Phone lines are open right now. See if your vehicle qualifies. Just call 1-877-246-0508 to get your car protected today. Call 877-246-0508. That's 1-877-246-0508. Never pay for covered car repairs again. Just call 877-246-0508. That's 877-246-0508.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts. Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. Here's your Masters update. Paul Laurie with an eagle 3 at the 15th hole, now 3 under, tied for the lead with Henrik Stenson at 3 under. Stenson through 7 holes. Stuart Sink, 2 under alone in 3rd place. Tiger Woods still 1 under after 6, tied with a number of guys at 1 under. Tiger has finished the 6th hole, now playing the 7th. Back to the NBA, a few other interesting games. Spurs go to Boston to play the Celtics, and the Spurs, I think, are sending a message to the whole league. I don't think they can win it, but Ginobili's back, so that big three, if you will, but they're also getting help from other guys. Yesterday, you had 5 guys in double figures, nobody scoring more than 14 points. Green led the team 6 for 13 from the field, 14 points, 4 rebounds. San Antonio, 87. The Celtics, 86. Paul Pierce did have a jumper at the buzzer, but he was played very tough by Tim Duncan. Duncan, 10 points, 16 rebounds. Tony Parker, 10 points, only 2 assists, but enough for the win. Neal off the bench with 13. Ginobili played 24 minutes, only had 5 points. but it's more of a team effort now with San Antonio. It's not just the big three. A very good effort, a very good win. Again, Pierce did have a look, but Duncan had played them tough. Pierce did not make the final shot. Spurs 87, Celtics 86. Bradley off the bench with 19 for the Celtics. Rondo 17 points, 11 assists. Kevin Garnett 16 points, but only 7 for 19 shooting. Pierce 15 points, 10 rebounds. Ray Allen only with 5 points, 2 for 6 from the field. Did get 7 rebounds, but therein lies the difference. Spurs 87, Celtics 86. A good road win for San Antonio. Maybe they can make another run. I don't think they can. I think we saw the preview of the finals yesterday down in Miami. But you never know. One last run for the San Antonio Spurs. Suns trying to get into the playoff picture. Get a big win on the road against the Jazz yesterday. Suns 107, Jazz 105. Gortat, their big man, who used to back up Dwight Howard, 14 points and 8 rebounds. Steve Nash, 13 points, 9 assists. Channing Frye with 13. Michael Redd, if he can get it going for Phoenix, they can make the playoffs. The deadly shooter, 8 for 17 yesterday off the bench, 3 for 7 from 3 for 19 points. Millsap had 25 to lead Utah. Miles with 22. Hayward, 20 and 10 rebounds, but it was Millsap at the buzzer who just laid in a putback, just not his fault. I mean, this wasn't like he shot it too late. Guy took a shot, he got the rebound and laid it in as quickly as he could, but it was just after the buzzer went off that he let the shot go. Otherwise, it obviously would have tied up the game. Suns 107, Jazz 105. Phoenix moves to 28 and 26. I mean, an amazing comeback for them. Give them credit. Utah moves to 28 and 27. Obviously, Phoenix pulls ahead of them. Also, you probably heard about Steve Nash. He said he wants to come back to Phoenix next year, but he's not coming back unless they have a commitment to winning, i.e. go out and get a superstar. But Nash, interestingly, said he would play somewhere else next year if Phoenix didn't do enough to satisfy him that they really wanted to go the right way in terms of winning. We'll just buzz through the other games. Some had some importance. The Nuggets have a bad loss to the Hornets. New Orleans at home, 94. Nuggets 92, the Hornets now 14 and 40. The Nuggets dropped to 29 and 25. Lawson at 22 to lead the Nuggets. Gordon led the Hornets with 15. The Pacers roll past Washington 109-96. Granger playing like an all-star, 20 points. Crawford led the Wizards with 28. Pacers 33 and 21. Wizards dropped to 12 and 42. The Hawks bury the Bobcats in Atlanta. I mean, what can you say about the Bobcats? They're 7-45 now. The Hawks get 24 from Josh Smith. 120-93, Hawks over the Bobcats. The Hawks move to 32-23. Philly desperate for a win yesterday. They're at home against the Raptors, but it was not even a game. The 76ers scored 7 points in the fourth quarter, 22 points in the second half. The Raptors on the road beat the 76ers 99-78. Raptors out of the playoff picture, but yesterday Bargnani with 24, Jose Calderon with 13 assists. Holiday led the 76ers with 20, but not enough for the 76ers. You could see an irate Doug Collins on the sidelines. He was in disbelief. The 76ers get blown out at home by 21 by the Toronto Raptors. Bucks with a must-win game at home against the Cavaliers. Bucks 107, Cavaliers 98, Bucks 26 and 28, now only a game behind the Knicks, who have their own injury issues. Monte Ellis, 30 points. What a backcourt that is for the Bucks now, Brandon Jennings and Monte Ellis. Ellis leads the Bucks with 30 points and 8 assists. Parker scores 27 for the Cavaliers, but the Bucks get the much-needed win for them, 107-98. Cavaliers drop to 17-35. Two other games. The Golden State Warriors beat the Timberwolves in Minnesota. Golden State 97, Minnesota 94. Golden State out of the playoff picture. The Timberwolves just about out of the playoff picture. David Lee 31-8. 31-8 for the Golden State Warriors. Kevin Love, the walking double-double, has another one yesterday. 29 points, 12 rebounds for the losing Minnesota Timberwolves. One final game, Portland in Portland beats the Nets 101-88. LaMarcus Aldridge with 24 for the Trailblazers. They're 26 and 29 on the fringes. They're going to need a real run to get into playoff contention. The Nets dropped to 19 and 37. They get 21 points and 11 rebounds from Chris Humphries. The Nets 19 and 37 going nowhere. And more importantly for the Nets, next year looking very gloomy for them. Doesn't look like they're going to be able to keep Darren Williams. They're obviously not going to be able to get Dwight Howard, who has signed on for another year in addition to this year with Orlando. You'll have the same problem with Dwight Howard next year, who, by the way, has a back injury, and that's a problem for Orlando as well. Those are all your NBA scores. A couple of other NBA notes, though. Derrick Rose has missed 11 games for the Chicago Bulls. He'll be a game-time decision tonight. He's had a groin problem for a while. Obviously, you need him to be 100% before he comes back. He's a game-time decision. John Calipari, the headlines in New York already. Will Calipari come coach the Knicks after his winning his national championship at Kentucky? Calipari was just a so-so time with the Nets. Don't know that he could come into New York and coach the Knicks, but he tweeted last night to the Kentucky, you know, Big Blue Nation, don't worry, he's not going anywhere. And why should he? Calipari's going to get the top two or three or four recruits in the country every year. If you're looking to be a one-and-done guy, you're going to Kentucky, and that's mostly what Kentucky has now, frankly. You know, Davis is expected to go pro. Kid Gilchrist is expected to go pro. So Calipari can keep reloading again. You can't blame Calipari for how this works. He didn't make the rule. You know, there's some movement now to make these kids go to college for 2 years. There's still people like me who think they should be able to go into the pros right out of high school if they're good enough. Yes, I understand you're protecting the kid from himself almost. But imagine they could have made LeBron James nowadays go to college for a year. They could have made Kobe go to college for a year. They could have made Kevin Garnett go to college for a year. And I'll say it again, these young golfers and tennis players, they become pros at 14, 15, 16. They're not even out of high school yet. And you can tell me one's an individual sport and one's a team sport, and that's fine. But that's not the differential I think one should be focusing on. I think it should be what's right. Why can't these guys be allowed to make a living if they can make a living when they get out of high school? It just makes no sense to me. But in any event, that's the news out of Kentucky. Calipari staying. There's a movement in New York to get Calipari to come coach the Knicks. Mike Woodson has done a good job. Obviously, he wants the job, but, you know, the Knicks collapsed. They had a 17-point lead in Indiana the other day and lost that game. And that was a huge loss for the Knicks. The Bucks now within a game of the eighth spot. The Bucks' schedule more favorable than the Knicks. There is a game, I think, next week where the Knicks have to go out to Milwaukee. That'll be a big game for both teams. One other college/NBA note, Jared Sullinger, the Ohio State star, decides to go into the NBA draft. He did play 2 years at Ohio State. He did get Ohio State to a Final Four this year. Had his problems, frankly, against Kansas. Showed, you know, he could have problems as a big man. He's 6'9". I guess he's going to play the four in the NBA, but he's going to have to, I don't know, get a little bigger, get a little stronger. I thought Kansas did a very good job against him in Ohio State's Final Four defeat, but he has decided to go pro and made that announcement yesterday. Been through the NBA now. We'll get to the NHL in a little bit. A couple of other notes in baseball. Johan Santana is going to start for the Mets. Their opening day game at home at Citi Field in Queens, New York, against the Atlanta Braves. And to me, Santana is a major key for the Mets. The NL East, of course, as we've talked about, is probably the best division when you look how deep they are in terms of the Phillies and their pitching. Atlanta, despite their collapse last year. Washington, a much better team this year. Strasburg's back. And, of course, the Miami Marlins, who did lose yesterday. But when you look at their lineup and the addition of Jose Reyes, Hanley Ramirez moves to third. That is going to be the toughest division, I think. Certainly the deepest, because those four teams are very good. Now, the Mets are viewed to be the fifth team. It's hard to find someone who doesn't think the Mets are going to come in fifth in that division. And they might well come in fifth, but to me, the key to their season is, do they have a healthy Santana? You know, people are hoping for 25, 26, 28 starts. Obviously, if you're the number one starter and you make all your starts, you pitch 34 starts. We'll have to see. It was disclosed in the papers the other day in New York that Santana had taken a shot of Toradol, which I'm told is kind of like a cortisone shot to some degree. Now, he did have that shoulder surgery in 2010. Obviously, he missed all of 2011, trying to come back now. He is their opening day pitcher, which is what they had hoped for. Again, if Santana shows up and he's a number one or even a number two, that's going to make the Mets 6-7 games better than they were going to be without Santana, maybe 8 games better. But again, even with that, you got to project, if things fall right for the Mets, it seems to me you got to project that they're going to be at best a 500 team, and obviously that's not going to get it, especially in that division with Miami and Atlanta and the Phillies, and again, the very much improved Washington Nationals. You know, the Red Sox lost their closer already. Andrew Bailey needs thumb surgery. Apparently, Josh Beckett is going to come back and make his start on Saturday, despite reports to the contrary. Red Sox at the Tigers, 1 o'clock today. Obviously, the Tigers with the reigning AL MVP and Cy Young Award winner, Justin Verlander. The Red Sox with their new manager, Bobby Valentine. I mean, there's so much interesting stuff going on in baseball as they hit the ground running today. The Yankees don't open till tomorrow against Tampa Bay down in Tampa. You know, the scheduling worked out very well for the Yankees. They played an exhibition game yesterday against the Mets in Tampa, where the Yankees have their spring training, and now they just stay there. They get a day off today, and they start against Tampa tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock. The Mets took a lot of criticism. They were viewed to be just money-making people. They got the Yankees to come to Port St. Lucie for a game on their way back from opening the Miami Marlins Stadium with an exhibition game, Yankees-Marlins. But the Yankees said, we'll come to Port St. Lucie to play you, the Mets, if you, the Mets, come to Tampa yesterday. So a lot of the Mets correctly were upset. They were in Tampa yesterday. They weren't in New York. They haven't practiced in Citi Field with the new dimensions of that park. So a lot of Mets were griping. Apparently Sandy Alderson, the general manager, apologized to the team, but this was just a money grab. If you can get the Yankees in your building, you know, when the Yankees went to Port St. Lucie, I think they had 7,600 people, the highest crowd of the year, and the Yankees wound up only sending Gardner and Swisher. So a lot of people were upset on a lot of levels. But be that as it may, Mets Braves open today, 1 o'clock in New York. Yankees Tampa open tomorrow, 3 o'clock in Tampa. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Sports news when you want it, 24/7 online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion.
You want to put your nest egg somewhere where it will grow. Gold has given investors a 300% return over the last 10 years. You want an investment that's safe. Gold American Eagles are guaranteed by the U.S. government for weight and purity. You want to work with someone you can trust. Blanchard & Company was founded over 35 years ago. They have an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. You want an investment that's liquid in case you need your money fast. Well, Blanchard guarantees to buy back any gold you invest in with them at the current market rates anytime you want to sell. And you want someone you can talk to ask questions and find out what's right for you. Blanchard has set up a special toll-free line to give you a free one-on-one consultation and information with a gold expert. Just call 800-309-5530. That's 800-309-5530. For free gold information, call now. 800-309-5530. 800-309-5530.
Get your Major League Baseball news when you want it 24/7. Online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion. With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in motor starters, contactors, coils, contact kits, push buttons, pilot lights, photo and proximity sensors, and many more items, including obsolete and hard-to-find parts. Visit us today at SupplyLineElectric.com. And don't forget that all orders ship the same business day. Supply Line Electric.
Electric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts. Get your NBA news when you want it, 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com, your cities, your teams, your passion.
Great job, guys. We just got certified loose slots by Las Vegas Advisor.
Yeah, but George, we're so tired.
We've been giving out so much money, and look, Jackpot's arm hurts because of all the pulls.
Well, guys, don't do it for me. Do it for our guests. Get back out there.
All right.
All right? Hands in.
Palm slots pay lots.
Palm slots are certified up to 36.85% looser than the Las Vegas Strip and local jurisdictions by the Las Vegas Advisor.
Want to know what's going on in the world of professional wrestling and sports entertainment?
It's still real to me, damn it!
Join Paul Belfie and Mike Pitak.
You are a freaking lunatic!
For Pro Wrestling Insider.
Awesome!
On SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
The flooring was high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bellawood pre-finished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. A few updates from the Masters. Henrik Stenson, with his second eagle of the day in the first eight holes, is now 5-under. He holds the lead by himself. Had an eagle on the par 5 second, and he just got an eagle on the par 5 eighth hole. So he's the leader by himself at 5-under. Paul Laurie has just moved to 4-under after 17, so he'll be the leader in the clubhouse after one more hole. In third is Ross Fisher by himself at 2-under. He's playing the 16th now, and Tiger Woods still at 1-under, tied with a bunch of guys for fourth place. But it's Stenson, the leader, 5-under after eight holes. That's pretty amazing, with two eagles at Augusta at the Masters. Few other things to get to. We'll get to the hockey in a minute, but I want to spend a couple of minutes on this tape, and maybe you heard it, maybe you didn't, just released in the last, I think, hour or so. Apparently there was a guy doing a documentary on one of the New Orleans Saints special teams players. Special teams players, and he has a 12-minute tape of defensive coordinator Greg Williams last year before New Orleans played the San Francisco 49ers in their playoff game. And boy, I don't know if Roger Goodell has heard this one, but when he hears this one, they might lock the door and throw away the key with Greg Williams. I mean, it's very specific. Now, you've already had some experts come on and say, guys say this in the locker room, but this was so specific. This is Greg Williams saying, you know, Michael Crabtree has an ACL. Maybe we should get after that knee. Alex Smith trying to hit him in the head. Kyle Williams, who you recall made those two bad plays against the Giants that probably cost the 49ers a chance to go to the Super Bowl, certainly contributed. Kyle Williams was coming off a concussion, and he was saying things like, let's test that concussion, let's test Kyle Williams. Frank Gore was more veiled. It was like, you have to cut off the head. If you cut off the head, the body will die. If the head dies, the body will die. And he kept talking about Frank Gore, and we have to make his head go sideways. Now, that's at least open to interpretation, but talking about specific injuries like Crabtree's ACL, the wide receiver for the 49ers, and Kyle Williams' concussion, the punt returner for the 49ers. I think if Roger Goodell did not know about this tape, and apparently it was just put up on a website, if Goodell did not know about this tape and hears this tape, and maybe that's why he made the suspension for Greg Williams, probably the most guilty, if you will, of anyone. He's the guy who put in the bounty system. He was the defensive coordinator of the Saints. He is the guy who obviously spoke to his defense. When you hear this tape, you'll be shaking your head. Now, you, Douglas, on ESPN came on and said, look, you know, people say stuff like that in the locker room all the time. I was a little surprised that you talk about specific players and specific injuries. But it is true that if you want to gain respect from the other offense, you want to essentially beat them into submission so they submit to your will. And you know, if you watch a lot of pro football, that's what it is. It's a battle of wills, offense against defense, offensive line against defensive line. If one side can impose their will on the other, well, that's pretty much the game. So this will be interesting. It can't be good for Greg Williams. You know, now if you look at Sean Payton got a year, and this morning in New York City, Payton and Mickey Loomis and Joe Vitt of the Saints coaching staff are all going in, Loomis the GM, of course. They're all going in today to plead their cases individually to Roger Goodell. Now, again, we talked about the joke of an appeal. If Roger Goodell is the original judge, jury, and executioner, if you will, and then the appeal goes to Roger Goodell, well, you know, in my opinion, that's not an appeal. They kept talking about if they have any new evidence to present. Well, that's not an appeal either. If you're appealing someone, then it should be to an independent arbitrator. Here's what the commissioner found. Here's the evidence on both sides. What do you think, Mr. Independent Arbitrator? Can you slash that penalty, or are you going to leave it the way it is? Now, it's pretty clear these penalties are going to be left the way they are. The only one who's got a real problem, it seems to me now, is Greg Williams, because 1 year may not be enough for this guy. If Sean Payton can get a year, and this tape of Greg Williams is going to go viral, it'll be all over the world by this afternoon, and Roger Goodell will get it and will hear it, well, when he sees that, or hears that, I should say, it seems to me he's going to get even more than a year, Greg Williams. He might be looking at 2 years. But Payton is down there today pleading his case individually, as is Mickey Loomis, who got 8 games, pleading his case individually. Again, you don't expect these things to be reduced, unless there is some new evidence now, although I don't like the standard. Maybe there is some new evidence. But if there is, maybe that'll get someone something lesser. But given this other tape from Greg Williams himself, you know, of him speaking for 12 minutes before a playoff game, and apparently the Saints had just been warned a week or two before, and apparently Benson had gone to the owner, had gone to his GM, Mickey Loomis, and said, you guys got to cut this stuff out. And apparently that was told to Payton and to Williams, if that's true. And then this tape came out. Well, nobody's getting anything. The only question is, would they get more? And frankly, that's going to fall, I think, on Greg Williams, and I think he will get more. But it is, again, we're not privy to these talks normally, but this was not some kind of subterfuge, some kind of covert taping. Apparently, Greg Williams and everyone knew that this guy was taping in the Saints locker room for a documentary. And, you know, if that's true, then the judgment of Greg Williams is, you got to wonder where this guy's judgment is, because for him to say those things, knowing he was going to be taped, I'm sure not thinking this was ever going to get out from a bounty perspective. But my goodness, you got to think before you speak when you're going to be on tape. I don't care who you're trying to rile up. And if you're going to rile up your defense, seems to me you have to do it without a tape recorder on in the room. I mean, I think there's going to be wide-ranging implications from this. This is even worse than we originally thought, where you're targeting guys. And when we've talked about lawsuits in the past, civil lawsuits I'm talking about, you now have proof that Greg Williams told the defense to go get Kyle Williams, to go get Michael Crabtree, to go get Alex Smith, to go get Frank Gore. If any of those guys got hurt, if Michael Crabtree, if Kyle Williams' concussions got worse, I think we would have heard something about Crabtree's ACL or Smith or Gore getting hurt in that game. But something as vague as a concussion, if Kyle Williams was shown to get hurt in that game, seems to me he would have a lawsuit against the Saints, against Greg Williams, against the player who followed orders, maybe against the NFL. Although it's obvious that the NFL did not sanction these actions, did not approve of these actions, and did not know about these specific actions. Obviously they knew something was going on. But this is the kind of stuff we talked about weeks ago when this stuff broke. This, to me, is evidence of a specific threat by a specific defensive coordinator to specific players, the New Orleans defense, about specific players on the other side, the offense. It's all there on tape. And you'll probably hear it today, the audio at least. Kyle Williams, seems to me he was threatened. Michael Crabtree, Alex Smith, Frank Gore, that's four names. Four big names, too, by the way. So we'll have to see how that shakes out. It can't be good for these guys in their appeal today. The timing couldn't have been worse. The guy who made the tape put it on his website, I think, last night. You got to wonder if there was some tie-in to when these appeals were being heard. I don't know. But this is very bad for Greg Williams. And again, apparently everybody knew this was happening. This was not a suspicious thing now. This is just something that was done out in the open. This was not people trying to hide something from the New Orleans Saints. They were aware of it. Just, you know, this is like poor judgment run amok. And you got to wonder, where was Sean Payton during all of this? Was he in the room? Did he know it was being taped? Did he know about specific threats, about specific players on the other team to the defense? You know, he's the head coach. Maybe he wasn't there. He should come out with a statement if he wasn't there when the defense was being spoken to in this manner by their defensive coordinator. Update from the Masters, Stenson pars the ninth. He's 5-under after 9 playing the 10th. Laurie goes to 4-under on the 17th. He's playing the 18th. Fisher still at 2-under after 16 playing the 17th. Those are your top three. Tiger Woods now went to even par, bogey on the 7th, so he's actually dropped off the actual leaderboard. I know everybody keeps an eye on Tiger. We'll see how he does for the day. But he's now 5 strokes off the pace, and there's 10 guys who are 1-under or better right now. Want to switch now to the NHL. Only a couple of games in the NHL last night. As we get down to the wire, the Red Wings beat St. Louis. St. Louis obviously trying to win the President's Trophy, but the Red Wings beat them in a shootout, so obviously St. Louis gets 1 point. The Red Wings get 2 points. Detroit 3, St. Louis 2. Jimmy Howard beats Bill Elliott in the goaltending, two excellent goaltenders. No scoring in the first two periods. St. Louis actually goes out to a 2-goal lead. In the third, David Perron scores his 20th. Andy McDonald scores his 10th. And with 9 minutes left in the game, it's St. Louis 2. Detroit nothing, but Detroit comes roaring back on 2 goals by Johan Franzen, his 27th and 28th of the year, with 6 minutes left in the game and 4 minutes left in the game. Pavel Datsyuk and Todd Bertuzzi assisted on both of Franzen's goals, number 27 and 28. Then in the shootout, Todd Bertuzzi was the goal scorer. Detroit 3, St. Louis 2. Another game, not very meaningful. The Canadiens in Montreal beat Tampa Bay. Montreal 5, Tampa Bay 2. Eric Cole with 2 goals for the Canadiens, his 33rd and 34th of the year. Max Pacioretty with 2 goals for the Canadiens, his 31st and 32nd of the year. Vincent LeCavalier had a goal for Tampa Bay, his 22nd of the year. Bruno Gervais got his 6th for Tampa, not enough. Montreal 5, Tampa Bay 2. Want to take a look quickly at the bottom, if you will, of the conferences in hockey, specifically the battle for 8th place. Right now, Washington and Buffalo tied at 88 points for 8th place. That's really the only race in the East. Both teams have 2 games remaining. Right now, Washington has the tiebreaker, so they're 8th. Buffalo on the outside looking in, but tied in points. So those last 2 games in the East will determine exactly what happens for just the 8th playoff spot. As you know, we've talked about the West is really amazing. Los Angeles right now with 93 points and 2 games left. They're the leaders of the Pacific Division, so they have the number 3 seed. But also with 93 points and right now in seventh place is Phoenix. They're in the Pacific. They have 80 points, so they're 80 games. So they're tied point-wise with Los Angeles with two games to go for both of them. San Jose, a point behind right now. They're in eighth, 92 points. Dallas now looks like they're going to be the odd team out, if you will. They have 89 points and two games left, so they're going to have to win both of them to jump into eighth place and hope that San Jose doesn't get a point the rest of the year with two games left. So it seems almost clear that Los Angeles and Phoenix, if they get 1 point in their next two games, they clinch playoff berths. San Jose is 3 points ahead of Dallas with two games left. So San Jose, if they can get a win in their last two games, obviously Dallas won't be able to catch them. The highest Dallas can go is 93. So in theory, they can still tie Los Angeles and Phoenix if Los Angeles and Phoenix lose both games in regulation. And in theory, they can beat San Jose. But it looks like right now Dallas in ninth place is going to be the odd team out in that strange four-team race for three playoff spots, with all four teams being in the Pacific Division in the West, the Kings, the Coyotes, the Sharks, and the Dallas Stars. I think it's going to be Dallas on the outside looking in. Colorado has 88 points and two games left, but even if they win both and get to 92, so many other things would have to happen for them to make the playoffs. It's virtually impossible. Now Calgary has fallen out of it. Minnesota, Anaheim, Edmonton, and Columbus fell out of it a long time ago. Want to get to the sports today. There's a ton of sports on TV. As we said, the Masters right now will start at 3 o'clock on ESPN. The live update now is still Stenson 5-under, Laurie 4-under, Fisher 2-under, a ton of guys at 1-under, and Tiger Woods now at even par. He's off the leaderboard. That is the top 10. But they'll have full coverage on ESPN at 3 o'clock Eastern, the Masters. You can get looking coverage from time to time now on SportsCenter. But today, the start of baseball season, the Braves at the Mets, 1 o'clock Eastern on SNY, the Mets channel. Red Sox at the Tigers, ESPN2, 1 o'clock Eastern. Marlins at the Cincinnati Reds, 4 o'clock Eastern, ESPN2. Tonight, the Dodgers continue the Don Mattingly era and the new Magic Johnson era, if you will. I thought Mattingly did a very good job with the Dodgers last year. Dodgers at Padres, 7 o'clock Eastern. That's on the MLB Network. Doubleheader tonight, the Knicks at the Magic. That's a TNT doubleheader, 7 o'clock Eastern. Now, Dwight Howard is a game-time decision. Obviously, the Magic, a much lesser team without Dwight Howard. Jameer Nelson has an ankle. He's a game-time decision. Kyle Anderson already not playing for the Magic. You know the Knicks walking wounded. Amari Stoudemire out with a back. Jeremy Lin had surgery. And if anyone doesn't think the Knicks needed Jeremy Lin at the point, you're kind of finding it out. Their point guard play has not been very good. Baron Davis, who was supposed to be the savior, looks like he can't play more than 20 minutes and be effective. Tony Douglas has not played well. Mike Bibby has not played well. So the Knicks with a lot of trouble at the point guard position. But this will be not a game of the walking wounded, but a game of the guys left over from massive injuries for both teams, at least for tonight. Knicks at the Magic at 7. After that on TNT, the Celtics at the Bulls. Celtics had that tough loss last night to San Antonio. The Bulls hoping to get back Derrick Rose. Again, the Bulls, as good as they are not going anywhere without a healthy Derrick Rose. He's missed 11 games with that groin pull. Celtics at Bulls, game time decision, Derrick Rose, 9:30 Eastern on TNT. Hockey tonight, Rangers at the Penguins, 7 o'clock Eastern, MSG2, and the NBC Sports Channel. Now, that becomes pretty much a meaningless game. The Penguins, with those two losses to the Islanders last week, eliminated themselves from catching the Rangers. The Rangers would like to beat the Blues for the President's Trophy. Rangers at Penguins, 7 o'clock Eastern. Winnipeg Jets at the Islanders, just playing out the string, 7 o'clock Eastern on MSG+2. And the Devils at the Red Wings. The Devils still mathematically alive for the fifth playoff spot, but they're probably going to rest some guys now. But they are at Detroit to play the Red Wings, who are very, very tough at home, of course. That's 7:30 p.m. Eastern, MSG+, Devils at the Red Wings. Also, if you're really into college hockey, NCAA Hockey Frozen Four, Ferris State against Union, 4:30 Eastern on ESPNU. And tonight, the big-time game, if you will, I think the winner of the Frozen Four is coming out of this game. Boston College plays Minnesota, 8 o'clock Eastern. That game is on ESPN2. This is the Steve Kallis Show, we're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.